Jewel is not here tonight, kids. You won't be doing your songs tonight. I'm sorry about that. Ashley, you're too old, darling. Oh, okay. Hello, Nicholas. Hello, Sarah. Hey, Miss Lejeune. How are you? Good. See, I speak to more than just Belen. We're talking about a heart of Thanksgiving Wednesday nights during this month. And I want to read something that I come across about being thankful. And y'all help me hear, listen for Mindy's knock, okay, on the window. Talking about being thankful, listen to this. Be thankful. Now, this is kind of a different spin on thankfulness, because don't we tend to be thankful only when things are going right? When things are good, we're thankful. Hallelujah, praise Jesus, God's good all the time. And then when things go wrong, totally different testimony, right? This puts a spin on Thanksgiving a little bit differently. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, then what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. None of us like that on a job interview, a job evaluation, do we? It's got that little place, you know, improvements, right? And we always disagree with them. Well, you mean I need to be friendlier? I think I'm plenty friendly. What's wrong with you, moron? That's the problem. Yeah, you're real friendly, okay. We don't like those improvement things, do we? Because we think we don't need to improve, but we all need to improve. We all can improve. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build your strength and character. Once again, we don't like challenges. We see those as problems instead of as opportunities. But challenges are good. Think about if there wasn't challenges. If people didn't meet challenges, we wouldn't have Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Just saying. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you are tired and weary, because it means you've made a difference. I like that. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. A life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are also thankful for the setbacks. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they can become your blessings. We want to label Thanksgiving as only when something's going right. But that's not what the Word of God says. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in what? Everything give thanks. In everything. In everything give thanks. I was talking to Joe Brown on the phone the other day, and he was talking about what he went through with his foot back years ago in his 20s, the stuff they had to do to his foot. And not to be honest, Joe, as you was telling me on the phone, I was sitting there, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, thank you for your blessings to go through that. You know, we look at the things in our lives as such negatives, and there's always people all around you that are battling much more severe problems and going through much more severe things. I say this all the time. You're not in prison tonight. You're not in the ER tonight. You're not in a nursing home tonight. You're not in the morgue tonight. You know, you got something to be thankful for. You are blessed because you are here. You are blessed because, I saw somebody on Facebook post this, thought it was really good. It says, your alarm clock didn't wake you up. My mercy and grace did. Think about that. My mercy and grace woke you up. For Melanie's cousin, Sean, he had a morning he did not wake up. The alarm clock would have made no difference because he was gone. It's God that wakes us up. So let's get into our message tonight about Thanksgiving. Psalms 104, this is our key verse every Wednesday. We're starting out with this. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We ought to have a thankful heart. Man, if God doesn't do anything else for you ever in life, what he did at Calvary's enough, more than enough, because it gave me hope of an everlasting life. I did a service today, a funeral service down in Mooresville for a 92-year-old woman. And she was a Christian, a godly woman. And it's such a blessing when you can testify to that. That here's a person, 92 years old, that has crossed the Jordan River, that has went into her inheritance, and that hope was made guaranteed and assured by the gift of Jesus Christ. And that same gift's available to all of us. It's gift time now, right? We got Thanksgiving coming up. We got Christmas coming up. And Christmas has been so politicized to where it's about none of the right things anymore. And I know we like our traditions. Nothing wrong with some traditions. But as long as we keep in heart and mind what we're thankful for, that we are honoring and celebrating a Savior being born into the world. Just like the shepherds saw the sky illuminate and the angels begin to give them the message of what had just happened. Their Savior was here. Our Savior is here to save us. Next slide. This is Psalms 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I can thank, the word praise and thank are interchangeable. When you're praising God, you're thanking God. I can thank God because he's good. He's good. I'm not good. He's good. And he is good, as someone shouted out in the funeral today, all the time. And he is. God is good all the time. We're not good all the time, but he is good. So God, I thank you because your mercy endureth as long as I don't sin. It's not what my Bible says. His mercy endureth as long as I don't do certain things. Here's the thing about our God, which I love. And we're not like his people. Your friends will drop you like a pancake in the floor. Okay? Drop you like a hotcake. Your boss will fire you and not even blink twice. All right? Y'all will leave the church and not tell the pastor nothing. And he's got to go to counseling for 3 years because he's emotionally scarred. It's okay. I'm about, the third year is coming up. You know, people will leave you. They will forsake you. It's only for a season, and it's based on conditions. It's based on conditions. When you have an argument with your husband or wife, you don't feel very lovey-dovey after that argument, do you? Come here, baby. Don't come here now. They're mad. Don't touch me now. Conditional. Your children act a fool. It's conditional how you treat them, right? But God's mercy endureth forever. You know what mercy means? It means that we are not granted what we deserve. That God has held back what we deserve. We deserve judgment. We deserve punishment. But he doesn't give us that. In fact, he gave us the very opposite. He gave us eternal life, peace and joy, forgiveness of sins. That's why it's good news. I told him at the service today at the funeral, down in Mooresville, I said, if anybody preaches anything about God, and it's not good news, they're not preaching about my God. Because the gospel is good news. It is not intimidation and fear and anger and wrath. And it's the good news. John 3:17. John 3:16, everybody loves. Joe loves John 3:16. We all love John 3:16. But what about poor John 3:17? He just gets, he's the stepchild verse, isn't he? You know what 17 says? He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't come to condemn. That's the good news. He came that we might be saved and rescued. Glory. Next verse, or next slide. I'm supposed to have some sentences. Yeah, that's where I need to be. I'm sorry. I wonder what my sentences were. That's where we need to start at the beginning. All right. Thanksgiving. We talk about this. Definition of Thanksgiving, the expression of gratitude, especially toward God. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's not turkey. It's not the May Day parade. Macy parade. Sorry. May Day. The Macy parade. It's not turkey. It's not Dallas Cowboys versus Detroit Lions. That ain't Thanksgiving. It's not going over to your grandma's house and stuffing your face till you go into a food coma. That is not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an attitude. It's an expression of gratitude, especially toward God. Go to the next one. We talked about this last week. Here's the two people that we are, and usually we're all both of these. What do I thank God for? Am I the person that thanks God for things, or am I the one that complains about everything, or am I both? And I think most of us are conditional. We thank God when things are right. The Social Security check came on time. Thank you, Jesus. But then, when things don't work out, and it's a day late, we complain about the government wanting them all fired. We are conditional, right? It's all about our attitude. Next slide. The level of your gratitude will determine your attitude. You got some folks you can't please. I don't care. You're not going to please them. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, right? It's like a sports team. You got half the people hate them, half love them. A president half hates them, half loves them. A preacher half may not like them, half may love them. Hopefully we're at least 80-20 here. But anyway, it's about your heart of gratitude. Your level of that will determine your attitude toward God. Are we grateful for all things? Are we grateful for just some things? Are we grateful for what he doesn't do? Are we grateful for only what he does do in our lives? Because I said this many times, man, sometimes the most answered prayer is an unanswered prayer. Because God's protecting us from ourselves. We pray, God, let this happen. No. Why? I want it. No. You want it, but it's not right for you. It's not what I want for you. And the greatest answer prayer is the one that God wants for us, not what we want for us. So your level of gratitude will determine your attitude. Next point. A thankful heart will produce a picture of joy and beauty. But a complaining spirit will paint an opposite picture. It'll paint a picture of sorrow and defeat. Whatever, a thankful heart. When you're thankful, don't you see things differently? I told you a story. I was at Chick-fil-A a couple weeks ago, right? It was free biscuit day. You got the app, right? Come in between 6 and 10, get a free, or 7, whatever it was. Scan your app, get a free biscuit. So I went and got a free biscuit. It was one of the worst ones I got, man. It was all bread, no chicken. Instead of where's the beef, I'm like, where's chicken? I mean, it was half biscuit. I mean, it was just terrible. It was all bread. And I'm sitting there, and I almost went back, and then I remembered, this was free. I got it free. And I remember saying out loud, sitting there by myself, at Chick-fil-A that morning, out loud, thank you, Lord, for my free biscuit. Didn't cost me nothing. As Andy Griffith says, ne'er a dime. Ne'er nothing. Didn't cost me nothing. It's all about what picture we are producing. And it comes back to if we're thankful or if we're not. And we all know those folks who will find something wrong on a clear day with not a cloud in the sky. You know, Ashley's anti-sun. I don't know what that is. But she's like kind of anti-sun. And she'll complain about the sun. That sun's so bright. I like rainy, cloudy days. I don't. Yes, Eeyore. I want the sunshine. I like the bright sun, the blue skies, the puffy white clouds. I like that. It's all about thankful heart. A thankful heart will produce a picture in your life that you'll see beauty in life if you're thankful. But if you're complaining, you don't see any beauty because you never see everything wrong. Everything's negative. Everything's not right. There's something good we can find in all of our lives if you really search hard for it. And most of us will find out the good way outweighs the bad. Man, we're blessed. We are so blessed. All your children come home safe from school today. They didn't get shot in a massacre. They didn't die on a school bus. They came home. They came home. Sharon's surgery is not pleasant, and I'm sure she's in pain. But she came home. She didn't die on the operating table. She came home. It's no fun to be put to sleep and have a tube stuck down your throat and your lungs. But Kenneth woke up with a report of I'm cancer-free. Something to be thankful for. And then even for the saint that goes on, as hard as it was to lose Vance, LeJune, the night down there at Lake Norman when you told him it was okay to go bye-bye. It's okay. I love you. I'll be good. When he left, took his last breath, you could be thankful, I know, for this. He's with his Savior. Thank you, Lord. He's home. I'm going to miss him like crazy. But God, he's home, and he's well, and he's healed. Even in the face of death, we can be thankful. And so when I see Vance now, I don't see him with the oxygen tank sitting on the stoop. Calling me, saying, y'all a car back behind church cemetery? Are they supposed to be there? He was a watchdog, man. If he'd been coming here regular and we had the security team in place, he'd have been on my team. Because he would call me. We got a yellow car back there, a green car. Pastor, do you know who it is? Bathroom light be on at night. Somebody left the bathroom light on. I can see across the street. But man, he had that oxygen tank and had a hard time breathing and was in pain and had bone cancer and just all kinds of battles. And you know what? He doesn't have those anymore. So we can be thankful he's been made whole and he is healed. And that, so I was going to say, when I see Vance now, that's what I see, a picture of beauty. I see him praising the Lord, singing that heavenly choir, using that voice of his and preaching to everybody he knows. Yeah, and he called Melanie Christy Alley. And then Melanie said, before or after? And he didn't say nothing. I'm just saying. He just started laughing. Because Christy Alley, as you know, changed a little bit over the years. She got off her Weight Watchers. It's all about picture. Thankful heart gives you a picture of beauty. A complaining spirit makes everything ugly. See the beauty in life. It's wonderful. Next point. Here's my third point. A thankful heart will praise the Lord. It will. If you're really thankful, you're going to praise the Lord. You're going to praise him. You're going to serve him. You're going to worship him because of what he's done for you. God, I'm going to praise you. Do I have everything my heart desires? No, but I got everything my heart needs. I've learned as I've grown, you know, my kids still give me a hard time. Well, Jamie and Ashley do. Christian not as much. They still, mostly Jamie, he just can't figure it out. He says, I can't believe you left a job making the kind of money you was, you know, and the place you would have been a few years, you know, the path you were going. And you left all that to preach. You've been making bank, Dad. I don't understand that, man. And what was my point to all that? I had a point to it. But anyway, you know, it's not about, our needs are met. Yes, that God gives us what we need. And what this is much more productive to me than all the money in the world. To be able to be used to share the gospel and to all the family that I have met through the years and people that I have learned to love and has learned to love me. You can't replace that with money. So God knows what we need. God knew I didn't need no house on the lake. I don't even like boats. God knew where he wanted me to be. And let you think about all the years you lived there across the street raising your four children. And this land sitting over here all those years. My school bus going by this land to north. All alone, man. I think about this. I get thinking about all times my bus, as me as a student, went by this land. How God must have been smiling. You know, just thinking, if that boy only knew. If that acne-faced, mullet-haired teenager only knew. Going by this land, what was going to happen? It was amazing. God is blessed. Man, God is blessed. God opened the doors. We began to pray for God to open up some land for us when we started church. We was over at the fire department and said, Lord, we need some land. I started looking. Found this land in a real estate magazine in the gas station, a 7-Eleven. Pulled it open. Said Jennings Road. Like, Jennings Road? And it was right here. I'm like, wow, this is nice. Great location. And I remember that they were asking originally $90,000 for this property, Lejeune, $90,000 for this land. And the guy building the church, Ray, he said, offer him 50. I'm like, okay, dude, 50, 50, 90, big difference. But he's a professional. He does it for a living. All I can say is no, right? So I counter-offered $50,000. They came back with $60,000. They came off $30,000 to accept that. Man, we jumped on that, and our church paid that off in 9 or 10 months. $66,000 paid off in like 9 or 10 months. Valeria sold us another acre. Where our cemetery's at was Miss Campbell's property, and she called me up. I guess she heard about all the money going on. She called me up. Hey, Pastor, you want some more land? What you got? Show me what you got, what you really, really got. What you got? She said, I got an acre back here. And we got that acre for, I think, $6,000. So I'll give it to you for $6,000 if you want it. Let's get it. So $66,000 for 11 acres of land that backs up to the interstate. Tell me God ain't in that. And then to get it paid off. I told church and the fire department, I said, we're not going to build this land's paid off. And God moved. Now, our new building we built 3 years ago, we're going to get hitting that hard next year because, you know, if we can pay $66,000 off in 10 months, we can knock the stuff out. We had a little more than that, probably 45 people, yeah. But God moved, and I'm thankful. God meets our needs, and a thankful heart will praise him because a thankful heart sees God as who he is. See, a thankful heart don't – see, if you truly got a thankful heart of God, it's not about what he gives you or don't give you. It's about who he is. See, I'm thankful for my wife, no matter how she treats me. I'm thankful for her, no matter how she – I'm serious. I'm thankful for her. If she don't cook, if she, you know, sleeps on the couch, I'm still thankful for her. I love her, and I'm thankful that God put her in my life. I'm not with Melanie because of what she gives me. I'm with Melanie because I'm her trophy husband, and I make her look good. No, I'm thankful for Melanie because of who she is. She's my best friend. She's my soulmate. She's my spiritual soulmate, my physical soulmate. She's, you know, she's everything. You know, and because of who you are, I want to thank you. And I do. I'm thankful for Melanie. And we learn to have a thankful heart. It'll be about being thankful for God and who he is, not what he gives us. All right, now go to my next verse, Brandon, that I'm supposed to be on. Right there. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. What do we say when someone gives us a gift? Thank you. Yes, that's right. We should anyway. If you don't, take it back. They're supposed to say thank you. God gave us the greatest gift ever could be given. The gift of grace. Grace is not based on who what you've been. It's not based on who you are. It's not based on your past track record. It's not based on your future record. It's not based on what you did last night. Not based on where you were born, how much money you make, what party you vote for, you know, where you live. None of that matters to God. Grace isn't based on your condition. Grace is unconditional. Grace loves you regardless of, in spite of. That's what God does. And he gave us this big old gift wrapped in a big old bow on a cross. And this bow was placed upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, presenting Jesus to the world for our sins. Here's the greatest gift ever. So I'm thankful, God, for this gift you've given me. Too many people have struggled trying to earn something they can't earn and keep something they can't keep. Whenever Jesus gave it to us as a gift. I hear so many people, and I tell you, the religious people that just want to keep you in a box and put all these regulations on your life, that's nothing but control. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. Remember what Paul says? He says, I've been set, don't let anybody put you back, you know, in bondage from what God has set you free from. Don't go back in that bondage. God set you free. You either believe in the gift of grace or you don't. You can't believe in both. I used to struggle with this. God, I know you saved me. I know about Jesus. I know about the cross, the shed blood. You rose from the dead. Yah, yah, yah. I know all that. But, God, I got all this other stuff that I still got to do, don't I? Question mark. And I used to challenge myself. And nothing made sense. Because I would hear you're saved by grace, but. And I got tired of the but being in the way. What do you mean I'm saved by grace, but? I'm either saved by grace or I'm not. You're either enough, Jesus, or you're not. You either pay the full price or not enough at all for me. And I had to start really researching the Bible, seeing what God's Word says. And over and over and over, it profoundly tells us that it's by his righteousness, it's by his grace, it's by his mercy that we are justified, that we are sanctified, that we are set apart, that we are born again, that we have been called his children and him our God, not on what I've done, what Jesus has done. And that's what makes the demons tremble, because the victory's already been won. Church, the victory's won. You know this old song Joe likes, Victory in Jesus. my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Man, that's what Jesus has done. He has given us this gift. So, Lord, I want to say thank You. Thank You for calling my name. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for looking ahead in time and seeing me in my need and rescuing me. Because, man, without the blood of Jesus, all of us are still in our sin. Next verse. James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Every gift comes from God. What gifts you talking about, Pastor? I ain't got no gifts, man. My life, follow me around for a day and you'll see how miserable my life is. Well, if I'm following you around, you're probably walking, right? Well, okay, you're not that bad then. You're walking. You got your legs. You're like Lieutenant Dan. You got your legs, okay? You got them. You got your feet. If you missed a couple toes, you got 8 others. I mean, there's always something to be thankful for. Every good gift. What are the good gifts? I don't know. The breath in my body. My home that I live in. I've got heat in the winter. I'm cool in the summer. I've got lights to be able to see. I've got food in my refrigerator. I've got gas in my car. I've got a job. You know what a blessing a job is? That's what's wrong with a lot of this generation. They don't understand working's a blessing. To have a job is a good thing. It's not a negative. We'd be lost without a job. You know, everybody wants to, they can't wait to retire. And as soon as they retire, what do, Gail? Go back to work. Man, my dad for years complained. I can talk about me here tonight. My dad for years complained about his job. My job, I can't wait to retire, man. Retire, not go in no more. He wasn't home 3 months. Mom ran him out of the house. You could have got his house. Dad started missing work. You know why? We were created to produce something, all of us. We were created to produce something. When we were younger and the kids were little, Melanie was a stay-at-home mom. She did a little bit here and there between, but mostly for up till Ashley was born, or up till Ashley was about 2 years old. She was a stay-at-home mom. You know what? Melanie had a great purpose. A great purpose. Them kids cry at night. Honey, they're crying. Get them. She had a great purpose. Melly took care of our household, took care of our home needs, took care of the children. She was wonderful. She had a wonderful purpose. Then God directed her to a different direction to become a nurse, something she'd always wanted to do. And God gave her that desire. Now she's a nurse and has a great purpose. Then God birthed a ministry. Well, He birthed the ministry first, but He birthed the ministry. And God put Melly in my life and the ministry's life with a very important purpose. Every gift, working, our health, our family, our shelter, our food, our cars, everything that we have is a gift from God. And the main thing is our salvation. Because nobody can give that to you. I don't care what anybody says. No religion, no preacher, no denomination. Nobody can give you salvation. That comes through Christ alone. And I am so grateful. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. And look at this next part. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Which means God is always the same. God doesn't change. Our seasons change. Our needs change. Our desires change. You know, there was a day that Joe and Sharon Brown were young, in their 20s, 30s, raising their daughters, working at the factory up in Ohio, working 50, 60 hours a week or more, you know, teaching Sunday school to church, doing puppet shows for the kids. That was a season of their lives that was there, that was real. And then the season changes, and now they're older, can't physically do as much, but God's still the same. The God of Joe and Sharon then is the God of Joe and Sharon now. And He never changes. He's in every one of our seasons. So God, I'm going to praise You for every season that I'm in. No matter where I'm at or what I'm battling or what I'm going through, You're still God. You're still King. You're still on the throne. You're still in full control. You're still in full power. And nothing changes that. See, my cancer doesn't make God not God. My bankruptcy doesn't make God not God. My wild children doesn't make God not God. My broken marriage doesn't make God not God. He is God through all of those seasons and all of those changes and all of those tragedies. He's God. And we can learn, that's why we have to learn to thank God for who He is. Because He don't treat us the way we treat each other. He's not conditional. We know this. We know, I hear story after story of people that happens to where people stop talking to each other. Even family gets mad and will cut each other off. Aren't you glad God don't cut you off because you make a mistake? Because you mess up? Thank God for that. Thank God He is not conditional, because if He was, we'd all have no hope. Because there ain't none of us can put 3 24-hour days together the right way. I mean, we can't get on no kind of winning streak. Not in the flesh. We sin daily. We sin hourly, really. Because we were born in that nature. And we need to thank God for the gift He's given us of the saving grace. And the Bible says in Acts, you know, the day of Pentecost, when Peter's preaching, he says, you know, you shall receive the Holy Spirit, and this is to your generation, every generation that calls upon the name of the Lord, to all of them that are afar off. So this gift of God's grace, this gift of His Spirit, didn't stop in the book of Acts. It's going on to every generation. It, you know, I have a, you know, I can trace my spiritual lineage to you know, I mean, I have an evidence from my grandparents of them getting saved in the 60s and my parents getting saved also in the 60s as children. And then me getting saved in the 80s. And then my children getting saved past that. And I see how God was in every one of those seasons. He didn't change. God didn't use Snapchat to call my name. He used the Holy Spirit. And we're getting too cute sometimes as a church, trying to be like the world instead of preaching the power of Jesus Christ. The same Holy Spirit that drew my grandpa in that tent revival, that drew me in a tent revival, that drew my kids in a fire department and this church. The same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that drew every generation. There's no tricks to it. There's no parlor tricks to it. God is still God. He still convicts with His Holy Spirit. He still finds the innermost part of us and brings healing to that. He still talks to us, walks with us, speaks to us, touches us. We can still have that same anointed feeling upon our flesh. For those that say you can't feel God, it's because you've never felt God. Because you can feel God. How many times went to a concert? Oh, He just gives me goosebumps singing. And you're saying you can't feel God? He's the goosebump of goosebumps. I mean, He's the goosebumps on top of goosebumps. We go to other places, and we get the chills because of something. You know, we'll see a YouTube video. Ooh, it just gave me chills. But in church, we cold as a freezer in food line. What's wrong with us? Man, be thankful. And as you start thanking God for who He is, guess what? You'll start experiencing God how He is. Because it's, you know, he's not a genie. You know, I grew up in the generation I dream a genie, right? She blinked, things happen. We expect God to be that way. They don't work that way. God's not a magic lamp. God is not on your time schedule. I mean, not far as what you want, but He is on your time schedule based on what you need. And that's the difference. We wanted God yesterday, and God says, you're not ready for me yesterday. Just wait. You're not ready for me yet. But when it's time, I will show up and give you what you need. Next verse. Philippians 4:16. Be careful. The word careful means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. The Amplified says, don't worry about anything. But in everything, every single thing, everything, by prayer. Me and David talking about that this morning at the hospital, wasn't we? You talking about something you're praying for and you felt bad because it wasn't really a big deal and people's dying, you're praying for this little boy. What does it say there, Debbie? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. The way we pray ought to be laced and mixed with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, here's what I see in this verse. God is hearing what I'm saying. Ain't that what that's saying? God is hearing me because he's telling me to bring my supplication, bring my request, bring it to him. Why would God tell me to bring my request to him if he wasn't listening? So what I get out of this verse is, thank you, Lord, you're listening to me. You're hearing what I'm saying. You're seeing the words coming out of my mouth. The blessing. You're seeing the words coming out of my mouth. Man. That hit me for the first time ever as I was studying this last night over here. This verse, I've read it a bunch through the years. And for the first time ever, that came alive to me. God, you're hearing me. Which we know that, right? So that's why I can be thankful. You're hearing me. The God of the universe. The God of Billy Graham. Right? The man closest to God. Right? The God of, you know, the presidents. The leaders of the world. The God over all creation. The dolphins and the seas and the mountains and the beaches and the jungles and everything. God, you're the God of everything. And you're hearing me? You care what I got to say? You don't think Thomas talks to God on them long road trips? I guarantee he talks to God. And you probably decide you ought to get this idiot off the side of the road, Lord. You better get that idiot and start driving around. He's talking to God. And God is hearing. That's what I want you to get out of this verse. I can thank you, Lord. One thing I can give thanks to God for in this verse is you're hearing me. Wow. Why would God care anything about what I got to say? Who am I? I'm his child. He's my father. And he desires to hear from me as his child. You're not bugging God. I know David made comments this morning, so I know God's tired of hearing Ken talk. No, he's not. He loves when we talk to him. He's not like a husband tuning out his wife. He wants to hear what you got to say. So it's important. Thank God for listening to you, because by listening to you, that means he cares for you. When people listen to you, don't you think they care for you? I listened to Charles for 7 years, didn't I, brother? Longer than that, but 7 years. Charles would call me every few weeks. I'd listen to him. We'd have a 15-minute talk. You have 60 seconds. You have 30 seconds. Man, I'm glad I got to hear that no more, Charles. 7 years, I listened to Charles. 7 years, hopefully, he listened to me. But most importantly, for those 7 years, he listened to God. And prison walls couldn't keep God from talking. Security guards couldn't keep God from talking. Shackles and chains couldn't keep God from talking. An inmate number on his back could not keep God from talking. Because it didn't matter what Charles had done or where he had been. God was talking to him. And this convicted inmate could hear God. Think about that. For us religious folks that want to judge everybody, I bet you he's listening to Charles a lot closer than he was you religious nuts out there. You know why? Because Charles was sincere. God, I need you. I have nowhere else to turn, and I have no hope. I'm surrounded by four walls that I'm trapped in, and God, I need to hear your voice. The religious folks like the Pharisees, right, had no need of God. Jesus tried to reach them. They didn't want to hear him. The priests, they didn't want to hear Jesus. We're good, Lord. We got our law. We got Moses. We got our ceremony. We got our church service. The offering plates are right here. The candlesticks right here. The showbread's all fresh and doughy, and we're ready to roll. You know, the tabernacle's all prepared. The people are coming. The calves are being slaughtered. We're good. We got our program. We got our agenda. We don't need it messed up by you. We're cool. Having no idea that they were not going to get to heaven based on any of that. That they still had to come through this Jewish man born to common parents, born in a manger, on a stack of hay, in a stable, to a virgin. You still got to come that way. Doesn't matter what your law says. You can wash your hands, you can light your candlesticks, you can fluff your bread, you can, you know, slaughter 1,000 calves and bulls and oxes. None of that's going to get you 1 inch closer to salvation because you are still in your sin. But thank God he came. He hears our prayer and he heard your prayer. And the times you cry out to God, be thankful he hears you. Last verse right here.
We quoted it a while ago.
In everything, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, everything, give thanks. Remember, a thankful heart will see a whole different picture than a complaining heart. You know this old saying about the glass half full, half empty, right? Which one are you? Either half full, half empty. You're always complaining because your life's half empty, or are you praising God because it's half full? Which one are you? If you start giving thanks in everything, you know what will happen if you start really giving thanks to God? You'll start believing it. It'll become real to you. Because as you begin to praise God and give thanks to God, you really do begin to see things differently than you did before. Next Wednesday is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, right? We will have service. We always do. We'll be here. Some of you may be traveling. We will be here next Wednesday, regular time. Like I say, same bat channel, same bat time. We'll be here. And next Wednesday, I want y'all to come prepared to share something that you're thankful for. And I want you to give it some thought. Really share something that you're thankful for, that really means something in your life. And I want you to share that next Wednesday with the church, to give God the glory of being thankful for something. Because sometimes just saying our blessings out loud make a difference. Right? That's why speaking the right words make a difference. They really do. You know, if you look in the mirror all the time, say, I'm fat and ugly, fat and ugly, fat and ugly, fat and ugly. Nobody wants me. Nobody loves me. I'm nothing. Nobody. Da, 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 da. We truly begin to believe what we're saying. Be like me. Look in the mirror and say this. Well, la-ti-da. Who is this chisel specimen standing before this mirror? Oh, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the best looking of them all? Hallelujah. That's right. Enjoy the view as I walk away. Mirror, that's right. I don't do that. I promise I don't do that. But what I'm saying is this. It is important with God that we praise Him, because it brings out the things in our lives that are meaningful. And all of a sudden, the picture of doom that we painted ourselves because nothing's going right. My God. Today at the funeral, there was one of the pallbearers. He had a hand missing. He lost him. He was 17 years old. He was drunk on a bridge. And he reached up and touched a wire and got electrocuted. He's got this little nub way up here. He about lost his foot, but they saved his foot. 17 years old. He said, I was mad for a while at God because I was wild then. You know what he does now? He goes around preaching and evangelizing. He preaches. And you know what he does? He takes that nub now and he uses it for good use. He makes jokes about it. He'll fool people with it. He'll put a chokehold with a nub. So you go let a one-armed guy really hold you like this? Really? He's turned it around and made it a positive in his life. Seen a guy the other day come to the funeral home. He had a prosthetic, a fake leg. And he come in, and just a steel rod, you know? And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you I don't have a steel rod for a leg. Thank you I've got my hands and my fingers, my feet and my toes. I got my eyesight, God. I got my hearing. Thank you for those things, God. I'm so blessed. Lord, I thank you that I can walk every day. And I know all of you can't say this, but, you know, I can right now. Many of you can say it's not as bad as others. But, God, thank you that I walk around every day and I don't really have pain. I don't walk around in pain. I don't have pain in my life right now. I thank you, God, that I can get up in the mornings. And, yes, my knees may crack a little bit getting out of bed. And it may take a couple hobbles to get the blood circulating. But once I get going, I'm gone. Thank you, God, for that. And thank you, God, you woke me up again today. And you woke my wife up beside me. And you woke my children out of their bedrooms. Thank you, God. And for those that's gone on, like Vance, like your wife, we can say, you know what? Thank God that they're no longer in this world with their battles, but they're forevermore been changed. I thank God for that. We have something to be thankful for. We think about next week what you're thankful for. We're going to pass the mic around next Wednesday night. Now, if only five of you show up, I'll know you're a bunch of chickens. So be thankful for something next Wednesday. And we'll pass the mic around, let you tell something you're thankful. It can be more than one thing. We want to make it a night of Thanksgiving next Wednesday, a true Thanksgiving of honoring God. You know why we bless our food? We're giving thanks, aren't we? We're giving thanks. We truly are. That's the whole point of saying our blessing. Other people say, that's so stupid. You know, it makes me feel uncomfortable. You're so religious. We're giving thanks for our food. Aren't y'all thankful for food? Yeah. I'm thankful for food. I'm thankful. You get a village. Aren't you glad Village Inn's around? Aren't you glad God created Village Inn, Gil? Man. He's there today. You got that pile of plate of pizza up there? Thank you, Lord, for this pizza. Thank you for my sausage, green pepper, onion. Is that right? Yeah, that's his pizza. Sausage, green pepper. Thank you, God, for this pizza. We're giving God thanks. So we all got something to thank God for. All righty, that's my message tonight. Hope you can be here Sunday morning with bells on, ready to worship and praise the Lord.